Today is the 22nd day of July. Hi, welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It is great to see you. I am grateful to be here together with you and you and you, all of us gathering together around the global campfire, our safe place, our little oasis in all of it, no matter what all of it means, the challenges and the chaos of life. This safe place to lay the cares of this life down and come into the circle here and gather in a safe place. I've said it so many times, I think of it every day. We can go back out of this time and pick it all back up and continue on our way. But it's heavy and it's hard and it's wearying and we become exhausted with it all. Coming here, taking a break, taking a deep breath. In fact, let's take a deep breath. We're in a safe place now. And we've come here for one thing, to just open ourselves up to the Bible, to let it hit us however it does, whatever comes up, because we're in a relationship with it. It's an everyday, ongoing thing. And it continually brings us the counsel, the advice, the awareness that we need. And so, grateful to be here with you today in order to take the next step forward together. Right now, that leads us back into the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, and Paul's basically masterpiece, the letter to the Romans. But first, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 12 through 8, verse 10. Then, in the presence of the people, Solomon went and stood in front of the altar and raised his arms in prayer. Solomon had made a bronze platform and put it in the middle of the courtyard. It was 8 feet square and 5 feet high. He mounted this platform, knelt down where everyone could see him, and raised his hands toward heaven. He prayed, "Lord God of Israel, in all heaven and earth, there is no God like you. You keep your covenant with your people and show them your love when they live in wholehearted obedience to you. You have kept the promise you made to my father David. Today, every word has been fulfilled. Now, Lord God of Israel, keep the other promise you made to my father when you told him that there would always be one of his descendants ruling as king of Israel, provided that they carefully obeyed your law just as he did. So now, Lord God of Israel, let everything come true that you promised to your servant David. But can you, O God, really live on earth among men and women? Not even all of heaven is large enough to hold you. So how can this temple that I have built be large enough? Lord my God, I am your servant. Listen to my prayer and grant the request I make to you. Watch over this temple day and night. You have promised that this is where you will be worshipped. So hear me when I face this temple and pray. Hear my prayers and the prayers of your people Israel when they face this place and pray. In your home in heaven, hear us and forgive us. When people are accused of wronging others and are brought to your altar in this temple, to take an oath that they are innocent. O Lord, listen in heaven and judge your servants. Punish the guilty ones as they deserve and acquit the innocent. When your people Israel are defeated by their enemies because they have sinned against you, and then when they turn to you and come to this temple, humbly praying to you for forgiveness, listen to them in heaven. Forgive the sins of your people and bring them back to the land which you gave to them and to their ancestors. When you hold back the rain because your people have sinned against you, and then when they repent and face this temple, humbly praying to you, oh Lord, listen to them in heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, the people of Israel, and teach them to do what is right. Then, O Lord, send rain on this land of yours, which you gave to your people as a permanent possession. When there is famine in the land, or an epidemic, or the crops are destroyed by scorching winds or swarms of locusts, or when your people are attacked by their enemies, or when there is disease or sickness among them, listen to their prayers. If any of your people Israel, out of heartfelt sorrow, stretch out their hands in prayer toward this temple, hear their prayer. Listen to them in your home in heaven and forgive them. You alone know the thoughts of the human heart. Deal with each of us as we deserve, so that your people may honor you and obey you all the time they live in the land which you gave to our ancestors. When foreigners who live in a distant land hear how great and powerful you are, and how you are always ready to act, and then they come to pray at this temple, listen to their prayers. In heaven where you live, hear them and do what they ask you to do, so that all the peoples of the world may know you and obey you as your people Israel do. Then they will know that this temple I have built is where you are to be worshipped. When you command your people to go into battle against their enemies and they pray to you, wherever they are, facing this city which you have chosen and this temple which I have built for you, listen to their prayers. Hear them in heaven and give them victory. When your people sin against you, and there is no one who does not sin, and in your anger you let their enemies defeat them and take them as prisoners to some other land, even if that land is far away, listen to your people's prayers. If there in that land they repent and pray to you, confessing how sinful and wicked they have been, hear their prayers, O Lord. If in that land they truly and sincerely repent and pray to you as they face toward this land which you gave to our ancestors, this city which you have chosen and this temple which I have built for you, then listen to their prayers. In your home in heaven, hear them and be merciful to them and forgive all the sins of your people. Now, O my God, look on us and listen to the prayers offered in this place. Rise up now, Lord God, and with the covenant box, the symbol of your power, enter the temple and stay here forever. Bless your priests in all they do, and may all your people be happy because of your goodness to them. Lord God, do not reject the king you have chosen. Remember the love you had for your servant David. When King Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifices that had been offered, and the dazzling light of the Lord's presence filled the temple. Because the temple was full of the dazzling light, the priests could not enter it. When the people of Israel saw the fire fall from heaven and the light fill the temple, they fell face downward on the pavement, worshiping God and praising Him for His goodness and His eternal love. And Solomon and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. He sacrificed 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep as fellowship offerings. And so he and all the people dedicated the temple. The priests stood in the places that were assigned to them, and facing them stood the Levites, praising the Lord with the musical instruments that King David had provided, and singing the hymn, "His love is eternal," as they had been commissioned by David. The priests blew trumpets while all the people stood. Solomon consecrated the central part of the courtyard, the area in front of the temple, and then offered there the sacrifices burned whole, the grain offerings, and the fat from the fellowship offerings. He did this because the bronze altar which he had made was too small for all these offerings. Solomon and all the people of Israel celebrated the festival of shelters for 7 days. There was a huge crowd of people from as far away as Hamath Pass in the north and the Egyptian border in the south. They had spent 7 days for the dedication of the altar and then 7 more days for the festival. On the last day, they had a closing celebration, and on the following day, the 23rd day of the 7th month, Solomon sent the people home. They were happy about all the blessings that the Lord had given to his people Israel, to David, and to Solomon. After King Solomon had finished the temple and the palace, successfully completing all his plans for them, the Lord appeared to him at night. He said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and I accept this temple as the place where sacrifices are to be offered to me. Whenever I hold back the rain or send locusts to eat up the crops or send an epidemic on my people, if they pray to me and repent and turn away from the evil they have been doing, then I will hear them in heaven, forgive their sins, and make their land prosperous again. I will watch over this temple and be ready to hear all the prayers that are offered here, because I have chosen it and consecrated it as the place where I will be worshipped forever. I will watch over it and protect it for all time. If you serve me faithfully as your father David did, obeying my laws and doing everything I have commanded you, I will keep the promise I made to your father David when I told him that Israel would always be ruled by his descendants. But if you and your people ever disobey the laws and commands I have given you and worship other gods, then I will remove you from the land that I gave you, and I will abandon this temple that I have consecrated as the place where I am to be worshipped. People everywhere will ridicule it and treat it with contempt. The temple is now greatly honored, but then everyone who passes by it will be amazed and will ask, 'Why did the Lord do this to this land and this temple?' People will answer, 'It is because they abandoned the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt. They gave their allegiance to other gods and worshipped them. That is why the Lord has brought this disaster on them.'" It took Solomon 20 years to build the temple and his palace. He also rebuilt the cities that King Hiram had given him and sent Israelites to settle in them. He captured the territory of Hamath and Zobah and fortified the city of Palmyra in the desert. He rebuilt all the cities in Hamath that were centers for storing supplies. Solomon also rebuilt the following cities: Upper Bet Haran and Lower Bet Haran, fortified cities with gates that could be barred, the city of Baalat, all the cities where he stored supplies, and the cities where his horses and chariots were stationed. He carried out all his plans for building in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and throughout the territory that he ruled over. Solomon employed at forced labor all the descendants of the people of Canaan whom the Israelites had not killed when they took possession of the land. These included Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, whose descendants continue to be slaves down to the present time. Israelites were not used at forced labor, but served as soldiers, officers, chariot commanders, and cavalry troops. There were 250 officials in charge of the forced labor, working on the various building projects. Romans 7:14 through 8:8. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am a mortal, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for I don't do what I would like to do, but instead I do what I hate. Since what I do is what I don't want to do, this shows that I agree that the law is right. So I am not really the one who does this thing. Rather, it is the sin that lives in me. I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my human nature. For even though the desire to do good is in me, I am not able to do it. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I do not want to do. If I do what I don't want to do, this means that I am no longer the one who does it. Instead, it is the sin that lives in me. So I find that this law is at work. When I want to do what is good, what is evil is the only choice I have. My inner being delights in the law of God, but I see a different law at work in my body, a law that fights against the law which my mind approves of. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is at work in my body. What an unhappy man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is taking me to death? Thanks be to God, who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. This then is my condition. On my own, I can serve God's law only with my mind, while my human nature serves the law of sin. There is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, because human nature was weak, God did. He condemned sin in human nature by sending his own Son, who came with a nature like our sinful nature, to do away with sin. God did this so that the righteous demands of the law might be fully satisfied in us who live according to the Spirit and not according to human nature. Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. And so people become enemies of God when they are controlled by their human nature, for they do not obey God's law, and in fact, they cannot obey it. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. Psalm 18, 1 through 15. David's Song of Victory. How I love you, Lord. You are my defender. The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection, and with him I am safe. He protects me like a shield. He defends me and keeps me safe. I call to the Lord and he saves me from my enemies. Praise the Lord. The danger of death was all around me. The waves of destruction rolled over me. The danger of death was around me, and the grave set its trap for me. In my trouble, I called to the Lord. I called to my God for help. In his temple, he heard my voice. He listened to my cry for help. Then the earth trembled and shook. The foundations of the mountains rocked and quivered because God was angry. Smoke poured out of his nostrils, a consuming flame and burning coals from his mouth. He tore the sky open and came down with a dark cloud under his feet. He flew swiftly on his winged creature. He traveled on the wings of the wind. He covered himself with darkness. Thick clouds full of water surrounded him. Hailstones and flashes of fire came from the lightning before him and broke through the dark clouds. Then the Lord thundered from the sky, and the voice of the Most High was heard. He shot his arrows and scattered his enemies. With flashes of lightning, he sent them running. The floor of the ocean was laid bare, and the foundations of the earth were uncovered. When you rebuked your enemies, Lord, and roared at them in anger, Proverbs 19, 24 and 25. Some people are too lazy to put food in their own mouths. Arrogance should be punished so that people who don't know any better can learn a lesson. If you are wise, you will learn when you are corrected. Okay, let's talk about Romans, what we read in Romans today, Paul's letter, because he's very, very confessional, and in being confessional, we very, very, on a very deep level, can identify. I mean, listen to Paul. He says, I don't really understand myself. I want to do what is right, but I don't. Instead, I end up doing what I hate. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. Can you relate to that? If that sounds like your life, then I mean, that's a confession from thousands of years ago. we're in good company. It's kind of the human condition. Paul said those words as he continues to lay out what's being laid out in Romans, a discussion at this point on the Mosaic Law, because he's speaking to Hebrew people. He's speaking to his own people, introducing them to the concept of faith and how Jesus fits into the story. And so Paul is saying that there's a war between light and darkness, between right and wrong, and it's waged not outside of us, it's waged within us. And the law is a spiritual thing. So even as Jesus came and was teaching, he was revealing the same reality, that the law had lost the plot, that the people had lost the plot as it relates to the law by making it external behavior modification as opposed to internal spiritual work. And so Paul is saying the law is spiritual, and it's good because it makes us aware of our inability in our own strength to fight between right and wrong. It's a losing battle, but there is hope. Paul's like, I am a miserable person. Oh, wretched man that I am, some translations say it. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? Can you relate? Like, I can relate. But Paul goes on, thank God, there is an answer. Jesus. So for Paul, what he's laying out for us, Jesus changes the entire plight, the entire struggle, reframes the paradigm altogether. He says there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus. Because we belong to him, his spirit frees us from this power against us and over us, the power of evil and sin and death, which is something that a list of rules and regulations cannot do. So it boils down to who we are offering ourselves to, what we are giving ourselves to. Paul says, if you're dominated by a sinful nature, then you will think about and ruminate on and plan sinful things. But if you are surrendered to the Spirit, then you will think about things of the Spirit that please the Spirit. So if you let your sinful nature control your mind, your mental health, it will lead you on a dark path to death. But if you will let the Spirit control your mind, your mental health, it will lead you to life and bring peace inside of you. It's a crossroads that the Bible brings us to over and over and over, a choice. Because it begins with a choice, and then it becomes a practice before it becomes a reality. And so if we take this on board, we understand that we can consciously turn toward the Spirit when the things of darkness come up, when envy reveals itself. We have a choice. when lust comes up, we can follow that dark path, but we have a conscious choice to surrender to the spirit when rage comes up, when deception and our deflection and lies and betrayal comes up. We have a choice whether to go through with it. Because any of those things, and we can name all of the list of all of the things that lead us into the darkness, because we all know what they are for us. Any of those things lead away from peace and wholeness. We have a choice, we're being told, to die to those things and live according to the spirit in our mental health. And the law, the Mosaic law, in its original form and intent, brought that to light. Even if we go back, way back to the beginning of our journey into the book of Deuteronomy, what are the words? Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing. I call on heaven and earth to be witness to the choice you make. Choose life that you can live. As the Holy Spirit, come, we invite you into that. Make us aware of your presence. We become aware because it is your spirit. It is you we are submitting and surrendering to. It is you that make this possible, that we can turn toward you and contemplate where you are leading, which is away from the enticement and seduction of evil that feels good, looks good, tastes good, until it's revealed as the poison that it is, and we are in serious trouble because of it, and our lives are coming apart because of it. We can choose. We have a choice, and we are not powerless. When we surrender to you, it is your strength. So make us aware that we have a choice, and our choices are going to matter. May we choose life. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base, and that is the app. Get connected, stay connected, be connected in either one of those places. And one of the ways to get connected is in the community section. The prayer wall lives there, but there are also links to just how to get in touch, especially like links to the different social media channels that we participate in. Staying connected there, if you're there, is a really good idea. We try to be encouraging, try to give some behind the scenes, try to stay connected in lots of ways. And so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. Thank you with all humility and gratitude. The Daily Audio Bible is here for these 20 years because we've been on this journey together. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app no matter where you are in the world. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's all for today. I'm Brian. And I love you. And I'm grateful that we had today. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Beloved in Texas, this is God's Life Speaker. I heard you on July 16th and smoking, and the anointing on your voice to speak and to deliver his message through this intellectual design and emotions that you have pursued. So I am so glad that you have said it out loud, confession, yay, number one, and you're going to repent. I'm sure you're doing this for doing this habit that you have been told needs to end, and you know it. So here we're on the road. Now we got to speak life. No more. It does not hold you captive, because if you are living by the flesh, then you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. Romans 8:13. So let's step into that. Let's speak life. I am and I have overcome the smoking habit in the name of Jesus, because he who lives in me is greater than he who lives in the world. And I have the power and the authority of Jesus that speaks to this habit. It should be gone and cast into the pit of hell. That you stand on what he has given you. And I pray that there is such a distaste in your mouth when you even think about smoking that you just are repulsed by it. And we are just going to speak that over you, that he can miraculously, and he will miraculously, turn it one day to the next, and it'll be done. It'll be done. Fast from it. And the word fast is tsumo in Hebrew, and that means to close your mouth. So, Heavenly Father, we ask for Beloved in Texas to quit, end the smoking habit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, this is Jen in Min, and with my husband David, and we just heard July 17th, Dawn calling in about her daughter and the praise report, and we just want to pray into that and thank God for this praise report. So God, we come before you, and we pray for Dawn's daughter, who confessed before 200 of her peers at a church camp that she was wrong in trusting and turning to self-destructive behavior, and she's turning to you and she's confessing you as Lord. So God, we pray for her. We ask that you protect her from evil influences and anything that is going to seek to dismantle that belief. And we ask that she would turn to your word, turn to communion with you and other saints, and that you would especially equip Dawn to bless her child, to pray along with her, as I know she's already doing, and we're joining her. And that there would be an established relationship between these two that they've never experienced before, a whole new relationship. We ask this in the power of Jesus, who hears our prayers. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Michael from London. It's the 17th of July, but I want to go back to Beloved in Texas's prayer request from the 16th. And I just want to say, Beloved, how I just loved your prayer request, how open you was, how transparent and how honest you was. And I'm sure that many people heard that and could empathize with what you're going through. I want to read out Romans 12, verse 2 to you. And it says this: "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And I'm just going to pray in a few seconds for you about that, that you know, you've got the impetus to want to change, and you're allowing God to slowly do that in you and through you, and we will pray alongside you so that your yearning for smoking will stop. But let me just pray right now. Lord Jesus, I praise you. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, for Beloved in Texas and her prayer request, Lord God. And I'm sure virtually all of us who have listened to that yesterday or today would empathize and would agree with what she was saying. I just pray in your mighty name, Lord God, that you continue to work in her, that this yearning, Lord God, for smoking will stop in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, as she begins to stop smoking, Lord God, you will just be doing so much wonderful work in her life, Lord God, and will be a great testimony of your grace and your mercy, Lord God, and your healing touch over her life. So continue to inspire her as she inspires us with her prayer request, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that this yearning for smoke and the enjoyment of smoking, Lord God, will soon cease. And Lord, for all of us, Lord God, whatever is holding us back from getting closer to you, Lord God, we too will put it to you, leave it at the foot of the cross so that you can deal with our lives. And I ask this all in your wonderful, precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Billy from Wetumpka with the Trinity Stone. I got my biopsy results back the other day from my prostate. Part of it was benign, but part of it actually had cancer in it. Now, he said it was a grade one cancer. He was telling me there's a couple things I could do. Well, three things, actually. One of them, I could leave it alone and check it. He says a grade one, so he's leave it alone and check it after a year. 2 years, do another MRI, and then possibly go in and do another biopsy and see if it's grown any. He said I could remove all of it, and he said I'm far too young to do that, probably, to remove the whole prostate. But he told me I could radiate it also. I could go in and treat it with radiation. He said the only thing was I could be 75 then and end up with, like, bladder cancer because I radiated my prostate early on. We just need prayer, covered up in prayers for this. Hopefully it's going to move on through and move on out. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But we just need to be covered up in prayer about this. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Love you guys. Talk to y'all later. Bye for now.